Matthew is in between classes, and that's why we heard the announcement over the PA system. But you know what? This shows that you're at school and you're in between classes and everything. Anyway, Matthew Cheek, thank you so much for taking your time, and have a great rest of the day. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
This has been Education Matters here on WGTD HD This Morning. I'm your host, Steve Brown. I want to thank both Dr. Brian Albrecht, president of Gateway Technical College, for joining us, and also Matt Cheek. For Education Matters here on WGTD HD, I'm Steve Brown. Thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Lenny Aquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, and Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist at the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning and welcome to Community Matters. I'm your host, Laura Sumner Kuhn, and I'm delighted today to have two wonderful guests from Higher Expectations for Racine County, Jeff Neubauer, the executive director, and Chelsea Powell, the deputy director. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
Wonderful. Thanks for joining us today. I thought I would just describe just briefly to our listeners what Higher Expectations for Racine County is. It's really a unique private, public, communal effort to change dynamics in Racine County from, as your website would tell us, from career to cradle. And you're doing some very innovative programs to change things in our community, aiming for better economic stability, better all-around well-being for the families who live there. I'm particularly interested in some of your job efforts that you've been doing, because you've been approaching things that have to do with Racine's high unemployment rate over the last several decades with a really unique effort, and I'm going to turn it over to you, Jeff and Chelsea, to describe that for us, because I would imagine many of our listeners are unaware of some of the fine things that you're doing.
Happy to do it. Grateful to be here. Thank you so much. And I'll take the first stab, and then we'll just kind of trade off here back and forth. So our mission statement, if one were to Google Higher Expectations Racine County, would be found to be a fully capable and employed Racine County workforce. And capable and employed are really key phrases, because if a person has capability, they are not dependent, they are empowered. So if a person has broad capabilities, that person can move from one employer to the next. If an employer leaves town or closes down or whatever, they are fully able to go out and support themselves and their family. And employed, when we say fully employed, we mean we seek to have people who are able to support themselves and their family in family-sustaining work over time, and hopefully have a career pathway where they can advance themselves in their career work. And then build this continuum, as you said, from career back to the cradle. And I'll describe that for just a moment and then maybe turn to Chelsea and she can describe a couple of the really interesting things that we're doing right now. So we start with the careers that are available in the community, and particularly where there are significant shortages, where employers, public and private employers, are really suffering from lack of qualified candidates. And there are a wide variety of those things right now. Last year, over 2,000 jobs were open in the community, according to Manpower, that looked through all the different job postings and took out all the duplicates that people were struggling to fill. What are some of those careers? Teachers, truck drivers, nurses, CNC operators, people who will work in advanced manufacturing, all manner of things, and many more, where employers really have a hard time hiring folks. At my former company, Kranz Incorporated, now Kranz, a division of Imperial Dade, they really struggle to get people to come and work in the warehouse. And those are Teamster jobs with Teamster pay, great health insurance, and a retirement plan. And that's right in the city on the bus route, and you don't even have to have a high school diploma to get those jobs. So it's across the spectrum. We look at those careers. And then we say to the people who would do training for those careers, whether that's truck driver training school or universities training teachers or whatever it happens to be, hey, we need more people in that field. And so you need to train more and recruit more people and graduate more people. They go back to the high schools and say, we need more students who are interested in these careers and who are prepared for these careers. The high schools go back to the middle schools and say, we need students who can do eighth grade math. And they go back to the elementary schools and say, we need students who can read on grade level by third grade, because sadly that is a very powerful predictor of high school graduation. And the elementary schools go back to the community and say, we want every child fully prepared for kindergarten, both in terms of literacy readiness and also very importantly on social emotional development. And so along that spectrum, work needs to be done in all phases of that across our community. And so we work in six of those seven areas. We don't have anything up and running in what we call a network in middle school math right now, not because it's not important, but frankly, we just lack the bandwidth to be able to do it. But in every one of those other areas, kindergarten readiness, third grade reading, high school graduation, post-secondary enrollment, post-secondary completion, and employment, there is ongoing and very good work. And we view, and many times if one were to look at the Strive Together National Network website, and we are part of the Strive Together National Network, there are about 70 communities doing this kind of work, including Building Our Future in Kenosha, Milwaukee Succeeds in Milwaukee, and Achieve Brown County based in Green Bay. You would see all these different communities working in these different spaces, but they typically talk about cradle to career. We reverse that very intentionally because we want to start with careers. We see jobs and family supporting careers as the engine that pulls the train. And to meet the needs of those employers and also to help people advance their own families' outcomes and particularly their children, we engage in different community impact initiatives. One of those Chelsea can talk about right now.
Sure, yeah. And I would just add that I think what's really important in our work and why collective impact is an important model for making change when it comes to economic and education outcomes for kids is that we're really focused on how we can affect and change the system so that it works better for those students and families. And that means the coming together of community leaders and incredible partners in Racine County that are all willing to think about and put that family at the center of their decision making. And that's been really transformational for our community. And one just really unique and exciting example of that is that in kindergarten readiness, we have a network of teachers and volunteers and professionals that come together that were inspired by the idea of making a Racine specific kindergarten readiness book for four-year-olds to get that really showcased our community in a positive way and taught children some of the kindergarten readiness skills that we know are essential before they step in their first day of five-year-old kindergarten.
Can you give us some examples of what those skills might be that teachers have found lacking? I think that would be informative.
Absolutely. And we actually have a kindergarten readiness checklist on our website that all of these professionals came together to sort of identify what those top skills are that any parent can check out. I know I've looked at it for my toddler. But some of those skills are just recognizing letters, being able to draw in a straight line, being able to draw some shapes, but also critically importantly, their social emotional skills. So being able to handle some conflict with other kids, being able to express what you need with an adult that maybe isn't your mom or dad. And so we actually do have a list of that. And the book specifically models those skills as the family is talking about getting ready for kindergarten and has a practice section for some of those more literacy and writing and learning skills that the students will have once they're in kindergarten.
So how are you distributing this book? I know that it just was released, right? The last week or so. Mm-hmm. How would somebody get a hold of a copy if either they are an employer or some kind of a service provider in our community who works with a population of who would have young children?
Sure.
Kindergarten age.
Absolutely. So our primary strategy is to reach all of the schools and childcare that provide services for four-year-olds. So we are providing free books to the private parochial, the public RUSD schools, and our next step is to reach out to our child care providers. And then we would hope after that to be able to reach some of those more private partners. We are currently providing those books for free to get sent home to families, and we would like to be able to add more books into our amount that we have so that we can provide it even more broadly across the community.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So we've covered a little bit of the cradle end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Let's launch a little bit more into the career part of the spectrum. It, as you're suggesting, there's a real mismatch in our community between the number of unemployed adults that we have living in the Racine community and the number of jobs that go unfilled among all of our employers in the community. So, and it sounds as though I'm just kind of recapturing some of what you've described. In some ways, it sounds as though Higher Expectations is very much a facilitator
mm-hmm.
of private and public partnerships and creative thinking to kind of brainstorm together to come up with some strategy to amend the problem, right? To amend the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you go about looking for people in our community who may be unemployed or maybe underemployed and capture their interest in the jobs that are available?
Great question. And I just want to pick up on your mention of our partnerships, which is absolutely critical because we are a facilitator, a coordinator. In the trade, it's known as a collective impact initiative, which I'm suspecting most of your listeners have never heard of. But we work very closely with Racine County. We're housed at the Workforce Development and Human Services Department at 1717 Taylor Avenue, and the county is a major investor in our work. They employ me. We also work with many employers across the community who have been generous investors in our work. The Racine Unified School District is a huge partner, Gateway Technical College, UW Parkside, Carthage, the United Way is our fiscal sponsor, meaning that's where the money goes and they distribute that. RAMAC is a major partner and others, including we also work as the opportunities arise with faith-based organizations. So what do we do? Well, when we looked at this mismatch that you were just describing, we said to ourselves, gee, Racine's had the highest unemployment rate in the state on average each year since 1990. Nobody likes that. How could we get the unemployment rate in the city of Racine down to the level of the state? And frankly, we want that for every municipality in Racine County. Racine is the one that's the outlier right now. And we quantified how many people would that be who are actively seeking employment, who show up in the unemployment statistics, who would need to become employed for us to match the state rate. Now, back at the height of the recession a number of years ago, that number on average was 2,744 people who would have had to become employed. And at that time, we didn't have 2,744 open jobs in the community. Last year, when we looked at the average month by month, it was more around 544. So it's come down a lot. Most of that is due to a strong economy. But now that curve that brought that number down is kind of flattening out. So we have more or less 500 people who we would need to move into employment who are not able to get jobs or hold jobs right now. So who are those people, we asked ourselves. And we engaged with a great partner, UW Parkside, and one of their great professors, Norm Cloutier, who's a labor economist, and asked him if he could do a study on that. And we did this in collaboration with Racine County Workforce Solutions. And Professor Cloutier and one of his excellent students came back and said the four biggest factors, comparing Racine to the rest of the county and also comparing Racine to 675 somewhat similar cities across the country, were mothers, single mothers. In the census, it's called female head of household. People who lacked a college diploma or degree, people who lacked a high school diploma, and race. And so we decided that we needed to let the data guide our work. We always try and use data to guide our work and to measure whether we're having an impact. And we like to use that data, as they say in the Strive Together Network, as a flashlight, not as a club. So we don't use it to beat people up. We use it to guide the path that we follow. And we quickly started to do research and found out that if you're going to try and help mothers who are unemployed or underemployed and who lack educational attainment, you also need to think about those children, because if you help the mom and not the child, that doesn't really work. If you help the child, not the mom, that doesn't really work. So you need what is known nationally in this research as a two-generation strategy. So we applied for, and I'll let Chelsea describe it more because she wrote the grant application in large measure, to our national organization Strive Together, and they received a generous investment from the Ballmer family, Steve and Connie Ballmer of Microsoft co-founder fame, and they awarded us a three-year grant to work on developing a two-generation initiative to create a better and more effective model for helping mothers who maybe fit that set of criteria to move into employment successfully, into family-sustaining careers, and at the same time help their children get to a place where they're thriving in their preparation for school and in school. Chelsea, do you want to talk some more about that?
Sure. Yeah. So we are working to really identify what works in terms of strategies and systemic changes that would promote better employment outcomes for primarily moms, and also, you know, those kindergarten readiness indicators for their kiddos. And we have partnered with Ascension All Saints to establish a pilot that would really wrap around some of those key supports and learning opportunities when a mom comes in to work at Ascension and provide childcare through their Little Saints childcare facility. And it's been a really exciting partnership. We've been working with them to design and create this sort of cohort model within their employment structure. And we're really hoping that we can put together something that will inform other employers and other community service providers about the best practices when it comes to supporting a whole family.
So right now you're in the recruitment phase of possible
design and recruitment. Yeah. So we're still working on those last steps to make sure that we can launch something that's really impactful, and women will be able to apply for a job at Ascension at an entry level, do job shadowing and learning within their early part of time, I think in the first 6 months, and then choose sort of a technical field that they'd like to go into, access the training, and be supported financially through that training process so that they can move up in their career towards sustainability.
So how many women are we talking about? I know you're still designing, it sounds, but you might have a target in mind. So
yeah, we're hoping 15 to 20.
And could you give us some of the parameters that of people that you're looking to recruit for this cohort?
Absolutely. Yeah, so we're looking primarily for moms with young children that are interested in a career that is connected to healthcare, but not necessarily just the medical pieces of healthcare. So there's also opportunities in sort of the customer service areas of healthcare and that want to reach a more sustainable type of employment. And that's really the bulk of the qualifications. And we are going to be providing training in a cohort model alongside that work and education so that they're learning about workplace skills, learning about parenting skills, being able to develop some relationships with their peers as they enter through this process. And ultimately improve retention and staying ability at that workplace.
So are the candidates that you're seeking high school graduates or not necessarily?
They are high school graduates. I will add that we're also partnering around another initiative in the community led by the YWCA and Racine County that is an HSED initiative that provides a no-cost high school equivalency program to parents and all adults in the community. And so we are happy to connect anyone that's interested with those opportunities as well. The community is, and our partners are really interested in figuring out how we close those education and employment gaps together.
Sure. So I could even see that some of your candidates for this cohort could come from the YWCA initiative for high school equivalency. And when will you actually be looking to identify and recruit the cohort? Is that going on now? And when is there like a start time for this program that you're envisioning?
We are envisioning, yes, this fall. I would say that I don't.
No pressure.
Right? I don't. I don't have a date, and ultimately, it's a partnership with Ascension, and they would be the ones that say go. And so we are we have the ability to accept, like, to talk with people about the program right now through our project manager at Higher Expectations, but I'm not entirely sure the exact date that this would be accepting applications.
How long is the pilot study or pilot program envisioned to take? Is it over 2 years, 3 years?
It's a year.
It's a year.
Mm-hmm. And it's 6 months of job shadowing and learning on the job, and then 3 months of working coupled with an actual training certification program.
And you've been talking, and then is it, I should back up, and then do you envision these women will become permanent employees at Ascension?
So they start as permanent employees at Ascension. At an entry level, and the goal is to move them into a position that is sustainable for their family and that is permanent for them.
So does the program supplement their beginning wages if it is not family supportive? I kind of hear a hint of that. Depending on what the position is, it may not be a family supporting wage, I'm gathering, and that the goal would be they have a trajectory toward that. What happens in the interim?
We are partnering with Racine County to Workforce Solutions to understand sort of how the supports that moms are currently accessing through shares and other programs are play into that model. We're also hoping to support through scholarships for their child care. Which is a huge expense for a parent going back to work, and other ways that we can appropriately supplement their income.
Through existing county programs, share being food share, I would imagine you're talking about.
Child care.
And child care.
But also through scholarships for their children through Little Saints. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
What you must have given some thought to what is a family sustaining wage in the process of all of this. Mm-hmm. What does it take for a family to survive, particularly a single parent with children or a child? Can you give us some example of what mm-hmm. you've determined that would be?
That's a really great question. We have a fantastic data fellow named Lauren who actually aggregated all of the information we have about cost of living in Racine County and has been working on a tool that identifies, based on your need and family size, what a sustainable wage would be for a one or two parent households. And it has been really eye-opening. Really eye-opening to see the cost, particularly for a single parent with a young child. I don't have like numbers offhand, but one of the more striking realizations was that for a single parent with a toddler and an infant, that you would need to be making between $65,000 and $70,000 a year to afford your cost of living without supports, which is a lot.
It's a substantial income, far mm-hmm. above what we say is the median income in Racine, right? I would imagine that housing plays a huge factor in that, especially mm-hmm. Rental housing, right? So there are all these ancillary kinds of issues that creep into the day-to-day function of what you're trying to achieve. How do those conversations happen with partners as you're looking at these numbers, for instance, and saying, oh my goodness, we never imagined, because we don't often take the time to step back and say, how much does it really cost to survive in this community? And then what are the components of those expenses? And what do we do about them? There has been some nationwide talk about the cost of housing for people in it, that it's skyrocketed, particularly housing that is not owner-occupied housing, so rental properties, that take up such an enormous amount of a person's income or a family's income. And then there's also the national conversation about what do we do with the minimum wage and how does that factor in? How do you handle those kind of conversations, and do you end up being actually kind of thrusted into the role of advocate in some of those conversations?
So picking up on what Chelsea was just talking about, and these are all great questions you're asking, of the the sustainable wage calculator mm-hmm. That Lauren Marinoff developed on our team. When you look at those aspects of what drives the cost of living, hugely impactful is the cost of childcare, which can be $10,000, $12,000 a year or more in some instances if you have an infant, if you're in a high-quality setting. And sadly, what happens for many families is that they're not in a high-quality setting, and then that does not advance the development of that child to the extent that perhaps we might all like. So that can be a big, big deal. Housing is a big deal. Medical care obviously is huge, and many of these moms, maybe most of these moms, will be on Medicaid. And it's very scary to take a job if you're going to lose your Medicaid. And so we want to work through all of those aspects of what the, transportation factors into this, and as do many other things. The ultimate objective here is to have someone be better off when all things are considered in employment than they would have been if they are able to receive Medicaid, food share, Wisconsin shares, child care subsidy, maybe a housing voucher. When you factor all that stuff in, have them be better off in private employment or public employment. And to build those career ladders that Chelsea was talking about so that someone can come in at an entry level but then progress perhaps in a medical path, as she mentioned. Maybe it's in the business side of the operation. Perhaps it's in the customer service side of the operation or in facilities or all kinds of things. The great thing about an organization like Ascension All Saints is that they have a huge and wide variety of career opportunities, huge needs, and, you know, have been struggling, as most employers have been, to fill all of the needs that they have in the community. So it's really a win for the employer, certainly a win for the mom, a win for the child, a win for the community. But connecting up all those pieces and factoring in all those things and figuring out how to make it a win for everyone involved is challenging, which is why these problems have persisted since 1990. If this was simple, easy, or quick, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And it's not just a Racine conversation. This conversation, as you mentioned, is going on across the country. We just happen to be in the spotlight and have put ourselves at the center of this discussion because we've had this high unemployment rate, the highest in the state, for such a long time, and everyone wants to fix that. I've never encountered anyone who thinks that's a good thing. And employers, the school district, the higher education institutions, the United Way, the faith-based organizations, are all in on trying to help make this work. So we've kind of got one more piece from a conversation we had just yesterday afternoon to fit in place, and then we will be launching this, as Chelsea said, hopefully this fall.
You had mentioned earlier that there were four kind of categories of need in our community, if you were to look at the people who are unemployed or underemployed, and race happened to be one of those dimensions. And so when you look at recruiting this cohort of single moms, what factor does race play in your selection?
It is not exclusively designed for African American or Latino mothers, but they are disproportionately represented in this sample or in our community in this group. And so we have a strong emphasis on trying to reduce disparities based on race or ethnicity. That is a big focus of our work. And frankly, we can't get to the objectives that we want to get to as a community, being fully employed and capable, having a high school graduation rate, having children read on grade level at third grade, having children prepared for kindergarten, if we don't reduce those disparities. We literally cannot get to our overall objectives without doing that. And many of these issues and challenges are very deep and of long, long, long standing. And so we can't shy away from that. We have to put that up front and center and address it directly. And that is what we attempt to do in our work.
So are there areas where you're looking to do this recruitment? Or are there things that you could say now to leaders in organizations or at businesses or in places where people who may know of somebody who fits what you're suggesting would be an ideal candidate for this cohort, can they come to you? Mm-hmm. You know, give us some ideas of how we can help get this pilot off the ground for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so we have as I said, project manager for this specific project, and there's information on our website, which is higherexpectationsracinecounty.org, about this project. So you can certainly contact us, and we have just like a info@careertocradle.org email that's accessible, and we check every day. So we can definitely sort of triage questions. And I would also say lost my train of thought.
I'll jump in and say.
Does the project have an actual name that somebody could refer it to it by? Not yet?
So we refer to this generally as our two-generation initiative.
Okay.
And that would get a person to the right place. Yeah. We are working closely with Racine County on this, and it has been suggested to us that we might want to look at something called the WIOA program participants, which is a specific program designed to help people get back into the workforce. And also we might be and probably will be working with the Central Racine County Health Department through their Family Connects program, where they visit the homes of families with newborn children. And so working with the county and Family Connects will probably be where we'll go to find the initial cohort. But this is, you know, one of many things that we're doing. Prior to starting the conversation here on the air, we talked a little bit about the information technology initiative that came out of one of our groups. And this was really something that a group of people in the community, private sector community, really took hold of and ran with, including Corey Mason, who is the father of the mayor. Not that, not the kid, the grandpa Corey, who works at Twin Disc and has been the chief information officer there until just recently when he retired, a guy named Chuck Goodremote at Modine, and another gentleman named Michael Polzin from Leeward Business Services. And they came forward and said, you know, we have a huge shortage of people in the IT field, and these jobs pay really well. And very, very disproportionately, our field is white men, and we need more people, and we would certainly like to diversify our workforce. So what can we do about that? And to make a long story short, they ultimately partnered with our assistance and support of Racine County and with Higher Expectations to engage at the George Bray Community Center and with the great folks there, and that's now part of the Racine YMCA, to reach out to that neighborhood and community and start with a group of seven people who were recruited from that neighborhood to try and have them go through a, I believe it was a 14-week training program to get assistance with other things that might occur in their life. Some of them did not have their high school diplomas. Some didn't have driver's licenses. There were all manner of it. Two of them became homeless in the course of this program. And then try and place them into a paid six-month internship. And they were paid during the 14-week training program. Then they were paid in an internship and placed in an employer location. And then hopefully to have them either continue their education because the educational programs were offered up by Gateway Technical College at the Bray Center and or move into employment. And we learned a ton from this initiative. And, you know, part of it was the really critical role of deep mentoring and support and being available to help people when they became homeless, or when, you know, help them get their driver's license or help them get into a high school equivalency program like Chelsea described earlier, or any number of other things, just to be a friend and a mentor. Our funding source for that unfortunately went away, but we are now, there will be a meeting this month in Madison with a number of the people I mentioned and the county and perhaps someone from Higher Expectations with the Department of Workforce Development and the secretary there, Caleb Frostman, who's a great person and very open-minded about these things, because the governor and his administration want to find new ways to support initiatives of this sort. And so it's not an easy thing, but what was one of the most encouraging and helpful things is that this group of seven individuals, none of whom had had an easy go in life, really bonded as a group and supported one another. Another great learning was that you have to be very flexible and available to help people. And the other thing was that recruiting that initial group of seven was not easy. It was a lot of door-to-door work by people from the Bray Center who really applied themselves. But once that first seven went through that 14 weeks and they were into their internships, then we had a lot of people knocking on the door saying, hey, pick me, pick me. Uh-huh. So word spread.
Wonderful. Are those seven people, can you give us an idea, the age bracket of those seven people that?
I would say mostly early 20s.
Mm-hmm. And are they still employed now, or are they?
So some are employed, some are continuing at Gateway, some interestingly decided, you know, this field isn't really for me. And so another piece of this is really something that the Academies of Racine have learned and others through our work with Parkside, Gateway, and something called Complete College America. All these themes sort of emerge that and you'll see it reflected in what Chelsea described with the two-generation initiative with Ascension. You need to help people think through where they want to be and what their opportunities are, because many folks haven't had that opportunity. And something might sound really cool. Oh, IT, that sounds cool, computers. But when they get into it more deeply, they go, you know, that's not really my cup of tea. You don't want everyone going to work at Ascension thinking they're going to become a nurse, because at some point you encounter blood and bedpans and all manner of other things, organic chemistry. And so you want to work with people up front, and that's one of the beautiful things that we learned from the Start IT initiative that has been incorporated into the two-generation initiative at All Saints, Ascension All Saints, is that they've intentionally designed in a six-month period where they get to see the different professions, shadow people, look at what that's like before they choose which path they want to pursue.
You mentioned mentorship being an essential component of these programs. Mm-hmm. Are you talking about mentorship within the organization where they are placed? Are you talking about mentorship from people in those professions, but not necessarily where these people will be employed? I agree and have seen the effects of mentorship for, and it's a profound effect that it can have on a person. But mentors are hard to come by. But there may be people who really want to do something to be part of this collective initiative but aren't formally part of any of those organizations that you've talked about. Is there room for mentors from the wider Racine community from different professions to somehow be engaged in what you're doing down the road, if not now?
I think absolutely. And I would say, in addition to underemployed and unemployed adults that are coming into the workforce that could be connected with mentors, we also have post-secondary students and adults returning to college that could be connected with mentors. And there's also significant opportunity with the Academies of Racine that the Racine Unified School District has launched and is doing incredible work around career pathways that we've been really proud to partner with them on to connect with high school students in the same way and provide that mentorship.
So yeah. If somebody were interested, would they just contact
I think that info at
Yes, feel free to contact us, and we are the connector to get you connected with whomever and whichever partner you'd want to learn more about and work with.
But I really want to pick up on your very insightful question about where these mentors function in the system. And one of the things that we have learned in the process, and it's really Chelsea and the team that are doing this work on the two-generation initiative, that it's very important to have someone, ideally, who looks like the participants, who has maybe traveled a similar life path, who has been successful. And so when we looked at potential employers as our first partner, we wanted an organization that had women, single women, women of color, moms who had been successful in various ways within that organization. And Ascension All Saints was a great partner in that way. The other thing is, it is important to have somebody within the organization who can help navigate all of the stuff that goes on inside a major employer. These are large, complex organizations, and so that's important. And so, you know, we think that we're looking, and that's the piece that we're, you know, in discussions with and trying to, I think the last major piece to fit in the puzzle before we can actually launch the thing is, what does that look like? Who is that person? And how will that work exactly? But that's really critical.